The Prime Minister is still working desperately to try and negotiate a deal with Nick Xenophon in a last-ditch bid to push his signature policy, the Australian Building and Construction Commission, through the Senate before Parliament breaks this week for Christmas. Our political editor, Alison Carabine, joins us. Alison, hello there.
Good morning, Fran.
Alison, so Parliament back today for the final sitting week of the year. Things are already looking pretty busy, if not messy, for the government.
Sure.
Malcolm Turnbull really would love this political win to head off into summer. And it all comes down at the moment to Nick Xenophon and the totally unrelated issue of water.
Yeah, essentially if a deal can be done to placate Nick Xenophon over water, water flows down the Murray-Darling, then the three votes from the Nick Xenophon team will probably be enough to give the government the numbers it needs to pass the ABCC bill. We now have the Prime Minister involved in these negotiations, which gives you a sense of the high stakes being played out here in Parliament House. There were talks over the weekend, Fran, but as of yesterday evening, no deal has yet been concluded. So, reading between the lines, Nick Xenophon certainly seems to be of the view that there is sufficient goodwill to come to some sort of a landing point and to do so as soon as possible. Let's have a listen.
I think we all understand the importance of getting this right and of bringing all the basin states on board as much as possible in relation to this. So at this stage, the whole issue of the ABCC legislation, still working through constructively with the government on that, but I really want and need the issue of water resolved sooner rather than later, because it is such a fundamental issue for the nation and for my home state of South Australia.
So that's Nick Xenophon on Sky last night, Fran. The talks are continuing, and there's a separate stream of negotiations with the Workplace Minister, Michaelia Cash, over the ABCC bill itself. Nick Xenophon pushing his pet issues of procurement, also security of contracts for subcontractors. Another crossbencher, David Lynehelm, he's also in talks with the government, and it looks like he's secured quite a significant concession. It goes to overturning the reverse onus of proof provisions within the legislation. If the government has agreed to the Lynehelm amendment, then a higher standard of proof would be required when it comes to coercion or other wrongdoing on building sites. David Lynehelm is quite confident that this is enough to secure his vote, and indeed the legislation will be passed by the end of this week. If that would be the case, Fran, then a much needed legislative boost for the government going into the Christmas break.
Yeah, but as you've said, with quite significant amendments. I mean, I'm pretty sure Nick Xenophon would love to clinch this deal with water because he doesn't want this to slip either. He's pretty proud of those amendments he's made. So the government has really given some ground, not to say it's not improving the bill. Probably is. I think they've managed to achieve quite a lot, these crossbenchers. Plenty of distractions for the PM, Ali, as he tries to wrangle the water issue. Tony Abbott, for one, flexing his muscles on Sky over the weekend on a whole range of issues. The major takeout is if he doesn't get a seat in Cabinet, he's going to keep speaking out on issues, which will be uncomfortable for the government. Now, this is the second time he's put this kind of offer slash threat out there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's becoming quite a theme for Tony Abbott, this unmistakable message that unless he's given a seat back at the Cabinet table, then he will be continue to be free to speak out from the back bench, and speak out he will. You're getting the sense that he's been emboldened by Donald Trump's victory in the United States, because he's now chancing his arm on a number of policy fronts. He made it crystal clear on the weekend that there will not be a conscience vote on marriage equality. Now, that was a message directly for Malcolm Turnbull. He also wants, he was egging the government on to launch an all-out assault on Labor's 50% renewable energy target, with, you know, echoes of his anti-carbon tax campaign against Julia Gillard. And in probably his boldest foray into policy, he's calling for a big new push on budget repair, including another look at some of the measures first proposed in that wildly unpopular 2014 budget. Let's have a listen to Tony Abbott.
There needs to be a big new push on budget repair because if we don't get the budget better, we are ripping off our children and our grandchildren. It's a form of intergenerational theft, spending their money on us. It does have to be done. I'm not saying that it's going to be easy, but this is where the government must be prepared to have that tough conversation with the Australian people.
And that's advice the Prime Minister won't appreciate, Fran, because Tony Abbott has just opened the government up to a whole new line of attack over measures such as the GP tax, which to all intents and purposes were dead, buried and cremated. That's it.
Thank you. Ali, and George Brandis, Senator George Brandis, the Attorney General, looks like he's going to face some heat in the Senate over those instructions. We were talking about this on Friday on the program. The instructions he issued to the former Solicitor General, Justin Gleeson, in the High Court case involving WA and Alan Bond's Bell Group.
Yeah, George Brandis will almost certainly be referred to the Senate's Legal and Constitutional Affairs Committee for a snap inquiry. It could report back to the Senate as early as Wednesday. Not sure how much it can really investigate in such a short period of time. But with Labor and the Greens having the numbers on this committee, they obviously want to maximise the pressure on George Brandis before Parliament rises on Thursday. What it will be looking at is George Brandis's instructions to the former Solicitor General, Justin Gleeson, which were ignored, but which would have effectively robbed the Australian Tax Office of $300 million, or at least that's the allegation against the Attorney General. That's the case he needs to answer. He will be called to appear before this inquiry, Fran.
Okay, and just briefly, the week kicks off with another opinion poll, and not a very good one for the government, though I must say the most interesting thing about this poll, sure, Alison, is the high level of support for minor parties and others.
Yeah, that's right. Now, the headline number in the Ipsos poll has Labor ahead 51%, 49% two-party preferred. But what the major parties would be really taking note of is what is called the other category. Now, this is the support for the outsiders in Australian politics, mainly One Nation. Support for the others category is up 4% since the election to 18%. So that's almost one in five voters. And when you add the 16% support for the Greens, who are at the other end of the political spectrum, then the combined total of 34%, and you have more than one third of voters opting for neither of the major parties. And at 34%, Fran, that beats Labor's primary vote, and it's just shy of the coalition. And that, in a nutshell, is the new landscape in Australian politics, Fran.
And that's what's pervading every political issue at the moment. Alison, thank you very much.
Thank you, Fran.
Alison Carabine, our political editor. And after 7:30, we'll be joined by the Justice Minister, Michael Keenan. Not talking One Nation for a change. We're talking about the federal government's efforts to extradite a man described as Australia's most wanted terrorist, Neil Prakash. And after 8, we'll be joined by the Labor leader in the Senate at the start of this busy Senate week, Penny Wong. It's 18 past 6 on Breakfast.